I want to read verses 1 through 11. This morning we studied 1 through 9, and I want to add 10 and 11 this evening. To refresh our memories, I want to read the first 9 verses, and then I'll read 10 and 11, God willing, and maybe spend just a little while reviewing 1 through 9, and then study verses 10 and 11. The Acts of the Apostles, that we studied this book once a couple of years ago, I guess, probably spent 6 or 8 months or maybe more in it. And one of the things I learned was that the name of this book, if you will, was given to it much later after it was written. I think I read what they called it or what they referred to it, but it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and it's written by Luke, the physician. He was not an apostle, but he was certainly a disciple, a follower of Christ. He was a believer of Christ, of course, and God inspired him to write this book. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, of course, and he refers to that in this first verse, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1 of Acts. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of it to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. End of verse 11. If I read that correctly, brethren, the King James Version, Acts 1, 1 through 11. God bless the reading of his word, and God help me in the preaching of the word, and us all, may he help in hearing the word of God. May he get honor and glory from it. This is my prayer. Amen. Brethren, to review a little bit of some of the things we talked about this morning, Luke wrote this book, we call it, the Acts of the Apostles, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and that's what he refers to in the first verse. He wrote it in the context, he wrote it to a man named Theophilus, whom I can't discover through research who he was. Scholars say he's unknown. He probably was a prominent fella. We don't know anything else about him as far as I know. But all scripture given by inspiration of God, and he's writing it to us. We use it. We learn from it. We rejoice in it. He says, I wrote about the things Jesus began to do and teach, things Jesus did, miracles, probably specifically, and his teaching. Luke says, I wrote about that in Luke. Do you remember? Do you remember? And he says, I wrote about what he did until the day that he was taken up. Do you remember in Luke, it starts out with the birth of John the Baptist. He's writing about Elizabeth and Zacharias, and she was barren. They were in advanced age. He writes about the birth of John the Baptist first. And then he begins to write about the birth of Jesus in Luke. We have that wonderful Christmas story, if you will, about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary. And then Mary, Elizabeth is carrying John the Baptist. Mary and Elizabeth, Mary's carrying Jesus. They meet the babe. John the Baptist leaps in the womb. Beautiful story. And then John the Baptist is born. Jesus is born. Then it skips to Jesus is age 12, and Mary and Joseph had come to Jerusalem for Passover. Good Jewish people. They bring Jesus with them. He's 12. They leave to go back home. Jesus remains back. Remember, they find him, I think, 3 days later in the temple discussing the scriptures, a 12-year-old with doctors of the law. He's right up there with them. In fact, he's above them. And they're astounded at his wisdom. Anyway, then he goes back home with them, and nothing about his life from his birth to 12, and then from 12 on to about 30, then Luke writes about Jesus' public ministry, of what Jesus did and what he taught until the day in which he was taken up. Would you turn to Luke now, the very last chapter? You've got John ahead of Acts and then Luke. And Luke says, I wrote about what he did and what he taught up until the day that he was taken up. If you look at the last chapter of Luke, the last verses, verse 50 of chapter 24 says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. That's the apostles. Jesus, that's Luke. That's what he's referring to. He says, I wrote about the things he did and things he taught until the day he was carried up. And so there's his record in the end of Luke. And so Acts takes up right where Luke leaves off. Until the day I wrote about what he did and what he taught, until the day and he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He gave them some commandments before he was taken up. We're going to read those in just down the column here. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Luke records a lot of those. The other gospel writers record things that Jesus did. We talked about that this morning. Being seen of them 40 days following his resurrection and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He's teaching them, trying to teach them about the kingdom of God. They're asking him about the kingdom of Israel being restored. Are you going to restore it? Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, stay in Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, promise given by the Father. And you have heard it of me, repeated, Jesus said, the Holy Ghost is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Wait in Jerusalem for his arrival. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, soon. God, he may somewhere in the Bible, that he may give a specific time that he's going to do something, but often, more often, I believe, he asks us, he demands us, he requires us to go on faith, to wait for the promise. He doesn't say how long to wait, just how long? How long do you wait? Wait long enough. Wait till it arrives. Wait till it's fulfilled. He doesn't say 5 days, 10 days. In this case, it was 10 days from when he was talking with them here. But we want it now. We want to know. How long have I got to wait? How long is it going to be? We just wait, Jesus says. When they therefore were come together, and this may be a different occasion, different location, they ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time again restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're wanting a king like David. They want a temporal king and a temporal kingdom. And Jesus says, Don't worry about that. It's not for you to know those kinds of things. Here's what you need to know. You are going to be empowered and you're going to be witnesses to me. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and you're going to witness to me, you need to be concerned with the kingdom of heaven and preaching the king, things of the kingdom rather than the kingdoms on earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Luke's recordation of Jesus ascending, going up from the earth and into heaven. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, they're standing there. Jesus is gone now. He's out of their sight. Bodily, he ascended. And he's gone. And they're standing there gazing up into heaven. And two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner." He's going to come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I want to spend the remainder of the time, God willing, now on these two verses. They looked up. He went up. Up. I was thinking about that word this afternoon. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Isn't it wonderful, brethren, that Jesus went up? Up from the grave he arose. We love to sing that. I love to think about up from the grave he arose, up. He ascended up. Jesus is up, brethren. He's up. He's high and lifted up. He's above the world. He's up, not down. He came down here and he lived among us, but he's up now. He's up. I like to look up. I was thinking about looking up when they had the recent jumping out of the airplanes thing out there at the airport. Jan and I were out there and we watched a helicopter take off. We had met the pilot earlier in the morning and he showed me on his laptop or something, some kind of a device. He said, here's my route. And he had these little highlighted lines. You could track his flight path of all the trips he'd made. There was a bunch of them on there. Looked like a bunch of spaghetti. He'd take off and go this way, and then he'd go this way. And he said, that's where I flew. He said, and he told us how high he goes. And then later we saw the helicopter take off. We were at a different location, and he was just going nearly out of sight. We kept watching him, and we kept gazing up. We just kept looking. And I'd say, I can't see him anymore. And she said, I see him there. Look over this way. He's just up, up, up. He was going up. That's the way I visualize this. Jesus bodily ascended and a cloud took him out of their sight. And we said this morning, it may have been angels. And I did some reading on that this afternoon and we'll share that with you in a minute. I don't think I'll forget it. But a cloud took him from their sight. And they're standing there looking up. I love that picture. Two angels, two men in white, or standing by them. You ever been looking up, looking, and all of a sudden somebody's in your presence, you don't know it, and then you realize it. I think kind of that's the way I visualize that. These men are there. But Jesus, brethren, is up. He's above the world. He's power, not weakness. He's strength. He's good, not evil. He's joy, not sorrow. He's up, not down. He's up. I like that. He's ascended up. Wherever heaven is, it's up, brethren. We talk about that, don't we? Think about it as being up. That's good. I like that. Up, not down. Two men by them in white apparel. They were angels in the form of men. Now, I don't know if this is connected in any way, but I want to give you this. Luke 24:4, same writer, Luke 24:4. When he is recording here his version of his account of the resurrection, the first day of the week, early in the morning, the women come to the tomb and they meet with, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed about this empty tomb, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. This is chapter 24 of Luke, verse 4. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Beautiful, beautiful scripture there. I remember, I think, using that one year at our sunrise service. But what we're looking at is Luke records in verse 4 of 24 that these women were at the empty tomb, perplexed, puzzled, what's going on, what's happened, and there, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. He describes these two men in the Acts as two men in white apparel. I would suggest to you that very similar, if not identical, appearance or garments of the men. One place they're described as very white, another is shining, probably the same, at least in my mind. Not a big issue, but I think it's similar. And then Matthew 28, 2 and 3, Matthew's account of the Matthew 28, 2 and 3, and behold, there was a great earthquake. It better rendered, there had been a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. I think very similar description, probably very similar, if not identical, in appearance. Angels, radiant, recognizable as angels. God's bidding they were doing. They had messages, they had information for the hearers, for those to whom they were speaking. I like that. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, here's the message, ye men of Galilee. All right, there's a message in that, brethren. Men of Galilee. These were apostles. They were common men. They were fishermen. They were uneducated as far as formal education goes. They weren't dummies. They were called ignorant men because they didn't have the PhD. They didn't have the degrees. But God chose them. That's all you need, brethren. You need God's choosing and God's blessing. These men were special men. Men of Galilee. Remember when Peter was accused of being a follower of Christ, he said, your speech betrays you. You talk like a Galilean. I know you're part of that crowd following Jesus. And of course, Peter denied it, but he was from Galilee. And just rural country people, which is what I am. And I love it. You all are, and I love you. Because God loves you, and we love one another. Ye men of Galilee. Another thing in that, John Gill told me this afternoon, was it's interesting that the angel would say to them, how you think they felt? There's this angel in their presence, and he says, hey, you guys from Galilee, you know, how would you feel if you're in Tipton and you're in a store and a stranger comes up to you and says, hey, woman from Fitzgerald? You don't know them. You don't know who they are. Total stranger. Or, hey, fella, you're from Fitzgerald, aren't you? You don't know who they are. That lets you know, brethren, that they know you. And they know something about you. Brethren, God knew these men. And the angel were doing his bidding. And they say, hey, men, you men of Galilee. That at first might be a little disconcerting. But when you think about it, if it's an angel of God, he's coming to talk to you, he knows you. He knows you, and God loves you. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Well, because Jesus went that way, and I want to see him. I want to get another glimpse of him. He's gone. My Lord bodily was with me a moment ago, and now he's gone. Yes, I'm looking up there. I want to see him. I want him back, maybe. Be the natural inclination, wouldn't it? I don't want him to leave me. I want him with me. Why are you looking up into heaven? Because I love him and I miss him and I want him back. Well, here's the good news, brethren. This same Jesus, I love that expression, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. He's coming back. He's coming back, brethren. That's another link in the chain of the good news. The covenant of grace, made flesh and dwelt among us, dead, buried, resurrected, 40 days on the earth, ascended, but here, he's gone from us. But here's the next link. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's not gone for good. He's coming back. Oh, brethren, what another wonderful, to me, a lesson, event in that, all that progression of our salvation, brethren. He's coming back. He will return. He's taken up into heaven, but he's coming back in like manner. He's coming back as he went. I said this morning that I think it was John Gill, he wrote that maybe that cloud was angels swirling around him. And I had trouble swallowing that, to tell you the truth. But I was reading this afternoon, and let me share this with you. Maybe you thought of it. He's coming back. 1 Thessalonians says that he's going to come with the shout of the archangel, and there are going to be angels with him. And these angels say he's coming back as he went. So John Gill says, if there's going to be angels with him when he comes, that the final time must have been angels. They said it's going to be like it was when he left. So I think that's where they get that angels will be with him. Let me read to you now a quote. I've got a quote here for you from John Gill about this same Jesus coming back. He shall come in the same flesh, in the same human nature. This is a wonderful thought to me. You know, when he appeared to the apostles, the 10 of them, Judas is dead, Thomas is not present. So there were 12, so there's 10 now, and they're in that room. And Jesus appears after his resurrection. And they say to Thomas, the Lord's risen. He's back. We've seen him. And Thomas says, I'm not believing it unless I see it. I think it was 8 days later, same room, same apostles, except now there's 11 because Thomas is there with them. Jesus comes into the room and he says to Thomas, come over here and take a look. My words. I thought of this afternoon, brethren. This is so good and so personal to every one of us, brethren. I don't know how Jesus will do this because I've got a finite mind and I can't grasp this, but I believe and I understand, brethren, that he is coming back. No question about that. And John Gill says, he shall come in this same flesh, in this same human nature, and we're going to see him and be with him, and it's going to be, to a degree, sort of like what happened with Thomas and the other apostles. Jesus is going to be, we're going to be in his presence, and we'll have the opportunity, brethren, to see him, I believe, like they saw him, up close and personal. With the millions, or like the number of the sands on the seashore, stars in the sky, of his people that he saved, he died for and saved, with all of those, it's still going to be, brethren, that you and I will be one-on-one with him to some degree for some time. And we will be able to see, I believe, the print of the nail and be close to him like that. That's wonderful there. He shall come in the same flesh. Now we're studying, brethren, we're in the context of this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. He shall come, John Gill says, in the same flesh, in the same human nature. He shall come in the clouds of heaven. He shall be attended with his mighty angels. He shall descend himself in person as he not now ascended in person. He shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Do you see that? This is good news. Do you see that of all those links in that chain there, those wonderful experiences, and then he's ascended, he's gone. But as those apostles are looking up and thinking, why did he leave? Where is he going? Is he gone for good? The angel says, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. He's coming back just like he went. Sister Linda, would you look up Hebrews 9, 26 through 28? Hebrews 9, 26 through 28. Sister Carol, can you read Job 19? Job 19, 26 and 27. Sister Susanna, you got Psalm? Can you get Psalm 47? 47, 5 and 6. Psalm 47, 5 and 6. Brother AJ, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. Sorry, I've got it here. I'll give it to you if you forget it. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come. He's going to come like he went, in like manner, they say, as ye have seen him go into heaven. That's the good news right there, brethren. He's coming back. Now, what I want to do now to close is I want to read you another quote. This one is from Matthew Henry. It's very similar to Gill's information. It's longer, but I want to read this to you. It's so good. Why stand you gazing as men frightened and perplexed, as men astonished and at their wits' end? Christ's disciples should never stand at a gaze, because they have a sure rule to go by and a sure foundation to build upon. Their master had often told them he was coming back. There, the apostles had got, Jesus had often told them he was coming back, and the angels are sent at this time seasonably to put them in mind of it, to remind them of what Jesus said. This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, and whom you are looking thus long after, wishing you had him with you again, is not gone forever, for there is a day appointed in which he will come in like manner thence, as you have seen him go thither, and you must not expect him back till that appointed day. This same Jesus shall come again in his own person, clothed with a glorious body. This same Jesus who came once to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself will appear a second time without sin. Hebrews 9, 26 through 28, Sister Linda. Let me read this. This same Jesus who came once to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself will appear a second time without sin. Read it for us, please, ma'am.
For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end.
That's it.
Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Amen. That's it. He appeared once in the end of the world, and that's the Jewish world. It's about to be over. In 70 AD, it's over. When Rome destroys Jerusalem. This is about 30 AD. So we've got about 30 more years and it's gone. But it says Christ appeared once in the end of the world to take away sin. And he's going to come back and he's going to appear without sin. I think that means that he was laden with sin because the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all when he came the first time and died on the cross. He's coming back, brethren, without sin because he's nailed it to the cross. He's died for our sins. They're paid for. They're gone. And that's what Sister Linda just read. And what Matthew Henry says was, this same Jesus who came once to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself will appear the second time without sin. Who came once in disgrace to be judged will come again in glory to judge. He came once in disgrace. He came to this low ground of sin and sorrow. He was made to be sin for us. He was disgraced. He was judged. God the Father. Jesus suffered the judgment of God the Father. And that judgment was sin. Not that he'd committed, but he was made to be sin for us. It was our sin that was on him. And God the Father judged him. But he will come again in glory to do some judging. This same Jesus who has given you charge will come again to call you to an account how you have performed your trust, he and not another. This same Jesus who has given you your charge. What's the charge? Well, to the apostles, it's this. Wait for the promise of the Father. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You shall receive power. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's the charge he gave them. This same Jesus who has given you your charge, apostles, will come again to call you to an account how you have performed your trust. He and not another. This same Jesus. The same Jesus that charges us to seek first the kingdom of heaven. The same Jesus that says, follow me, take up your cross and follow me. He comes, brethren, to judge you and me. This same Jesus will come to judge. Job 19, Sister Carol, 26 and 27.
And though after my skin worms destroy his body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my brain be consumed within.
There you go. Job says, I'm going to see him. I'm going to see this same Jesus and not another. Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible, if not the oldest.
And right above that he says, for I know that my Redeemer lives.
Yeah. Amen. Beautiful, isn't it? This same Jesus who has given you your charge will come again to call you to an account how you have performed your trust. He and not another, Matthew Henry reminds him. He shall come in like manner. He is gone away in a cloud and attended with angels. That's Matthew Henry saying when he ascended in a cloud and with angels. And behold, he comes in the clouds and with him an innumerable company of angels. He is gone up with a shout and with the sound of a trumpet. Sounds like that description of when he's coming, doesn't it? Psalm 47, 5 and 6. Sister Suzanne.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises
to
our King's praises.
Amen. That's from Psalms. It's saying he's gone up with a shout and the sound of a trumpet, and with angels. Gill and Henry cite, both of them cite that verse as that's a prophecy from Psalms fulfilled at his ascension. They're about to convince me that the angels were that cloud around him. He shall come in like manner. He is gone away in a cloud and attended with angels, and behold, he comes in the clouds, and with him an innumerable company of angels. He has gone up with a shout, as Sister Susanna read, and with the sound of a trumpet. And he will descend from heaven with a shout and with the trump of God. Brother AJ, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the angel.
Archangel, that's it?
Archangel, yeah. And with the trump of God.
Yeah.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's coming back. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You have now lost sight of him in the clouds and in the air. And whither he has gone, you cannot follow him now, but shall then, when you shall be caught up in the clouds to meet him in the air. Isn't that beautiful, brethren? He's coming back for us. I'll close with this. Matthew Henry says this: when we stand gazing and trifling, the consideration of our Master's coming should quicken and awaken us. He says, when we get sometimes disheartened or confused or disoriented about it all, when we consider that our Master is coming back like he went, that should quicken and awaken us. And when we stand gazing and trembling, that's fearful of anything, the consideration of it should comfort and encourage us. When anything troubles us this side of heaven, any disappointment, any fear, anything unpleasant, the consideration of this verse, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner, that ought to comfort us and encourage us. This wonderful verse is just another link in that wonderful chain of God's blessing to us, his people. Oh, Lord God, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that my thoughts have been right according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I pray that they've been encouraging to us all and comforting to us. Oh, God, may we serve you until Christ comes that final time. And if we go into the grave before he returns, we can say like Job, though after skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see him. I'll see him and not another. Thank you, Father, for that wonderful promise. Oh, God, get honor and glory for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.